good. Proverbs 14. Brother Gene, you come to sing for us tonight. We'll enjoy the song. Find Proverbs 14, and we'll be there shortly. So there's good. Raise the handouts to you in just a minute. Proverbs chapter 14. Brother Gene, bless you. Good. All right. Now, this is the first night we've really had to use the heat. So I just want to ask if everybody's comfortable. Hang on just a minute there, brother. Ask if everybody's comfortable tonight. Everybody comfortable, right? Is it too warm, stuffy? Is it okay? Everybody's all right? All right. Very good. We're not going to use those handouts tonight. I am going to just, I'm going to shoot from the hip here because of the tenor of the service. Turn to Job chapter 1. I want to turn you to three scriptures tonight. And I'm going to ask the Lord to take what we're going to do here and just make it a blessing to the hearts of those that need it. Amen. And just in light of all that we've talked about tonight, Ms. Howard, good to see you. It must have slipped in after a little while. Good to see you tonight there. Lord bless you. And always good to see you and tell your husband I said hello, okay? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray now that you'll guide my thoughts. I wasn't going to do this. We're fully prepared with a handout and a lesson. But I just feel your Spirit's leadership and tugging in this direction, so I'm going to follow Him tonight. And I pray that you'll help me to be a blessing. I pray more. I just want to get out of the way. Let the Scripture be a blessing. Let the Word of God be a help to your people tonight. Many, Lord, many, not just an isolated case here or there, but many carrying burdens about things that, Lord, are very heavy, not just a cold, or a cough, but serious things. And so, Lord, I pray that You'll please help me tonight in these Scriptures. And thank You for the Word of God that's so relevant for us and helpful. And we love it. Now, bless these thoughts, I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. I don't have to belabor time tonight reminding you of the story of Job. Okay, everybody that's here pretty much is probably well familiar with his story there in the Old Testament. And this is something that I pointed out some years ago when I think it was even when Brother Gomez's wife, Carla, passed away. And so I want you to, but I want just to remind us of it tonight. Maybe some were not here then, and some were here for the first time. And then we're going to put a couple other scriptures. But I want you to look in verse number 13, Job chapter 1. The Bible says, "And there was a day when his," that's Job's sons, "and his daughters," Job's daughters, "were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house." I'll stop for sake of time because you know the rest of this passage. This is talking about the day on earth when Job's calamities began. All right? This is when the first messenger came and said, you know, the Sabians fell and they took the oxen and the asses, and they tell you they took the servants, they captured the oxen and the donkeys, and they killed all the servants, and I only am left to escape to tell you. And while he was yet speaking, the second man came in verse number 16 and talked about the sheep and the servants being burnt up, and he alone had escaped. And while he was yet speaking, verse 17, the Chaldeans came and fell upon the camels and the servants and took all the camels and servants, and he alone was escaped. And while he was yet speaking, verse 18, there came that last servant who said, "Your 10 children are dead." Verse number 13, there was a day. That's talking about the day on earth when Job's calamities began. But I want you to see something. I want you to look back in verse number 6. Here's a different day. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." So my point is this, folks. Before the day in verse number 13 ever happened on earth, there had already been a day up in heaven in the very throne room of God where He put His permission on what happened in verse 13. Now, I don't understand that. I don't understand it. And my purpose tonight is not to cause you to understand all the details of, this has been a strange night because I learned about Mike Keogh's passing. It's very sad. And Big Mike never joined our church, but he was a nice guy. And I think trying to do right. And then, of course, Kim talked about her dad. And then, of course, the situation has developed since Saturday with the Minkowskis, and, you know, then since Friday with Ben and Ashley, and then now these missionary letters. You know, and all, I'm not trying to say anything tonight that would help anybody understand. But I want you to know this, that nothing happens here that didn't pass through His approval up there. And we may not understand that, but we have to trust Him. We have to trust Him. That's all we can do. So, and by the way, this ought to really give you great comfort, because as difficult as the situation is, and to every person it's different, okay, as difficult as the situation is, it ought to be comforting to you and me to know that not even the devil himself can bring something into our life that God doesn't first say, okay. And for me, that gives me some kind of comfort, okay? That God loves me that much, that He's not going to allow anything to happen in my life that doesn't first pass His permission and His approval, okay? And so there was a day on earth when Job's troubles began. There was a day in heaven before the day on earth where God's for whatever reason, for whatever how this fits and how this all comes about, I can't explain it. I can't explain it. I can't help a man talk to his children. with understanding, I can't do that. But I can help God's people know that nothing comes into our life that catches God by surprise. Remind you tonight that He knows the very numbers of the number of the hairs on your head. If He knows that minute detail about me and about you, He certainly knows that these other situations are underway, and somehow, some way, for some reason, you know, He's allowed it. And what God does is good. It may not be enjoyable, but all things work together for good. So I don't know how, but that's God. So before there was a day on earth, there was a day in heaven where God put His approval, His permission, if you will, on this event that took place in Job's life. And can I remind you, friend, that this is pretty catastrophic. This is not a fairy tale. Okay, this is not Jack and the Beanstalk. Okay, this is a real man. And I don't think Job had any less emotions than any of us would feel about relatives. Okay, these are his kids, his flesh and blood. So he had to feel the same way that we feel. Okay. Now, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And let that be a reminder, because for another reason that I'll tell you in just a minute. Okay. Hebrews chapter 4. And I want to remind you of this. That was the first reminder. And I'm not telling you anything new, nothing that you never thought of before or heard before, but maybe just a reminder tonight to help you with your burden. Okay. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14. Okay. Here is a great verse about the ministry of our high priest, Jesus Christ, where he says in verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens and that identifies him, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched," and I love this, "with the feeling of our infirmities." I love that, because that's talking about emotion. That's talking about sorrow. That's talking about sadness. That's talking about heaviness. That's talking about the heaviness that some of you are carrying tonight, and the sorrow that some of you have been experiencing since a phone call or a sit down or an email or a conversation. It's talking about emotion. The word feeling there is exactly what you would think it would be. The feeling of our infirmities. You know, think about those poor souls on Mount Carmel who danced around and cut themselves and screamed and cried for hours to a God that could not hear, could not see, and worst of all, did not care. How horrible. And you got to be reminded in times like this that there is a high priest seated at the right hand of God in heaven who is touched by the feeling of your infirmities. Your sorrows. And you look back at the life that he went, those 33 and a half years here on planet Earth, and particularly that 3.5 year ministry. You know, I believe Jesus loved Peter, don't you? And I believe Jesus was probably touched with the feeling of Peter's infirmities when Peter's mother-in-law died. I know he was touched when Lazarus died. You know, and I've heard him preached in some places a couple times that, you know, he wasn't weeping because of Lazarus. He was weeping because of the hardness of the Jews' hearts. I don't buy that. I think he was weeping because his friend was dead. And maybe not so, maybe he knew what he was going to do, but he could see the heaviness and the sorrow that Mary and Martha were going through. Loneliness? Did he not know the sorrow of that? Foxes have holes. The birds of the air have their nest. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He had no home. Lonely. Nights he spent by himself. on a mountain all night in prayer to his father to find some kind of fellowship. The difficulty of loneliness, the difficulty of sorrow, the difficulties that death and sickness and disease bring into your heart, the sadnesses and the sorrows that come into our hearts when we or our loved ones or our close friends or people that we are concerned about, like these missionary brethren around the world, when they face all the, there's not one feeling of infirmity that Jesus Christ wasn't touched with. So when you go to Him, you can say, I feel, and you can know that He says, I understand. I understand. Somehow, you know, we try to think, you know, of Jesus as, yes, God the Son, there's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. He was deity in a human body, but at the same time He was deity, He was all human. And I think He carried those human feelings and human sorrows and human sadnesses in His own heart. And thank God that we have the opportunity when we get on our knees and when we're driving down the road and the tears spring from the corner of our eyes, our situation is not as desperate with them coming home on next week and getting her to a place, and they're probably going to take the baby by cesarean section prematurely at 31 or 32 or 33 weeks, but that's doable. That they can do that here in the States. But you know, when we hung up, we had a tear or two. You don't want your kids going through stuff like that, and the second time especially. So, you know, but what we're going through is pales in comparison to what some of you folks are going through, what some of these missionary brethren are going through. But I don't read here that, you know, it's only the serious cases that Jesus feels badly about. I read here that we, you, me, all of us, whatever we're facing, when we get on our knees, we need to remember that we have a high priest who is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. I remember when my grandparents died. I remember when my grandpa's died. I was much younger than he is. I remember how I felt when my grandpa's died. And you have a high priest who's touched by the feeling of your infirmities. So remember that. And it says in verse number 16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And by the way, when your heart is broken, it's a time of need. Okay? So remember this tonight. Remember that nothing happens here on earth that didn't first pass through God's approval for some reason in heaven. And remember, when you get on your knees to pray, that you're not praying to some inanimate object that has no eyes, no ears, no heart, and no power and no feeling. You're praying to a living Savior who's coming back someday, who is touched by the feeling of your infirmities. Now, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And I want you to look at let's just read verse number 12, picking it up here, Hebrews 12:12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now look at this. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Is the potential for you and me to get bitter over bad things that happen to us, is that a real potential? Sure it is. Does it have to happen? No. It doesn't. Been amazing to me in talking to our brother in Quincy, how his main concern is, I don't want my children to get bitter at God. I don't want my children to get bitter at God. Because the potential is there. The root of bitterness is in all of us. That's one of those things that's in our hearts. It comes with the Adamic nature, the sin nature. Anybody that thinks that, you know, I don't have any trouble with bitterness, you're dead wrong. It's in us. It's in us immensely. But there is something available to us that can help us keep the root of bitterness in check. And that is the grace of God. So if bitterness springs up in my heart or anybody else's heart, it didn't have to happen. Somewhere, somehow, I failed to embrace and engage the grace of God. Because God's grace is sufficient for everything. Everything. When I spoke on the phone to Mrs. in the hospital in Quincy, I was amazed at the grace of God with that lady. Amazed. It's incredible. And I told the husband, I said, you know, it seems like I'm struggling with this more than you and she are, but they're right there. They need the grace of God and they've got it. And God's grace is available for you in your situation, me in my situation. And if we get bitter, folks, it's just because somehow we failed to embrace and engage the very grace of God. Because it's there. And that's why I said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know, when you start to feel that old bitterness flourishing in your heart, you've got to plead for God's grace to come and be sufficient to quench it. And then receive the grace that God gives. Take it. Okay? Now let me show you something. Let's go back to the passage in Job. Let me turn back to the passage in Job. And again, chapter number 1 here. Let me find it. I just scratched some scriptures down here while Brother Gene was singing the song tonight. And what a great song for us about the cross. Amen. Now look at this in verse number. Oh boy. I couldn't have time to nail the verse. Where is the verse in chapter 1 or 2? Where is it? Yes, chapter 2, verse number 3. Okay. And the Lord said unto Satan, this is after the attack in chapter 1, okay? Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity? Integrity means wholeness. If I take this jacket off tonight, reach in my pocket, take my pocket knife, stick it in the fabric and rip up a 2-foot gap, just I have destroyed this jacket's integrity. Does that make sense to you? Right now it's a whole piece of fabric. It's held together here. It's a coat, but if I jab it with a knife and rip it up, it comes apart. You know what happened with Job? He didn't come apart. You know who's the only one that could touch Job's integrity? Look what his wife said in verse number 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? And you see what Jesus said, what the Lord told Satan up there? He holdeth fast his integrity. It kind of sounds like the only person that could give away his integrity was him. Satan couldn't take his integrity from him. He could take his kids, but he couldn't take his wholeness. He could take his health, but he couldn't take his wholeness as a person. He could take all of his possessions, but he couldn't take his wholeness as a person. And somehow, some way, through all of this, Job never fell apart. He never came apart. And I don't think for one minute that means that, oh, brother, there's no tears. I think that's unnatural. Of course there are tears. Paul said, he didn't say we don't sorrow. He said we sorrow not as others who have no hope. It's a difference, but there are tears. Oh, there are tears. And there's sadness and there's sorrow, but it's within the realm of God's grace. It's within the realm of God's comfort. It's in the realm of remembering that nothing happens to me, that for some reason God hasn't put His approval on and I need to trust Him and to have a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of my infirmities and I'm not left alone to bear them. And I don't want the bitterness that's in me to become fruitful and ruin me. I don't want to give my wholeness. I don't want to give away my integrity. And you don't have to. And there's been case after case after case after case after case after case after case down through the years where God's people went through some very difficult and trying circumstances and they retained their integrity. They embraced the grace of God. They engaged the grace of God in the face of extreme sorrow, sadness, burden. But they did not fall apart. Therein is the difference, folks, or should be, between saved people and lost people. So, brethren, brothers, sisters, those of you facing a particular burden tonight, a particular heaviness, a particular sadness, a particular sorrow, embrace the grace of God. Engage the grace of God. Be mindful when Satan bombards you with thoughts about God that you know aren't true. You capture those things and you get rid of them and you bring every thought into the obedience of Christ and you ask the Holy Spirit to control your mind and you ask the Spirit of God to use the grace of God to break down the bitterness that might be springing up in God. I don't want to give away my integrity. I trust You. Did we sing that? Did we start out tonight singing "Tis So Sweet"? Is that the song we sang at the beginning? What did we sing at the beginning of the service? "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Yeah, I'm so glad I learned to trust Him. And I don't know, folks. I'm not a prophet in the sense of I don't. But common sense and logic tells me that as we get closer and closer to the rapture, the end of this Laodicean age, and the spirit of Antichrist is unleashed upon this world, something tells me that we better be plugged into the grace of God. We better be plugged into the grace of God. We better be plugged into it. And that's not doom and gloom. That's just how it is. And I'm so thankful that all grace is sufficient for whatever I need and whatever you need. So I hope these little reminders tonight will be a help to you, a blessing to you. Write the verses down. Go home. Read them to yourself in the days to come. When you need them, read them. That's a relevant Bible right there. Amen. Relevant to your need and mine. My Father in heaven, I bow before You tonight. And Lord, I did not plan this for this service, but I trust this is what You wanted said. And I trust that what was said tonight will be taken and applied to the hearts of those that need it the most. And I ask, Lord, that You will please help us to embrace and engage Your grace. And God, I pray that we will be diligent against the root of bitterness. And that, Lord, mental battles that we begin to fight will be won through the power of the Holy Spirit. That every thought will be brought into the obedience of Christ. And I pray for each one touched tonight by a heavy, heavy circumstance or situation in their life. I pray that You will carry that burden from them, for them. I pray that we will have sense enough to leave it with You. Thank You so much for the good music tonight that helped us. 'Tis so sweet to trust in You. And we do, Lord. We do. Help us to learn to trust You more. In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies, find the page to the song, "Take Your Burdens to the Lord and Leave Them There." And then let's stand together. We're going to find that singer tonight. Find that. What you got there? Can you play that, Deanna? Can you play that? All right, I don't want to spring a song on her that she can't play. I don't know, she probably can play anything. But take your burden. Is that in there? Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. Is that what page it is? It's not in the book. 401. Okay, 401. All right. 401. Give us an introduction there, Deanna, and we'll sing it tonight. 401. And we'll be ready to go in just a minute. We're singing. Now, you know what? Verse number one, the words are not quite as good as the others. Let's go ahead and sing verse two here. Ready? Here we go. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and He can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, when your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you and will lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Turn back to 392, and we'll end with this tonight. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. What a friend. Let's sing it together and find that there. 392, give us just an introduction. Here we go. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often mourn, and oh, needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Good singing. Can we find a friend so faithful? Who? There it is right there. He feels the infirmities, yes. Jesus knows our every week. Thank God for that. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's sing the last now. Are we weak and heavy laden and covered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Good, do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take it, shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Amen and amen.